If you imagine a drawing of a donut with a hole in the middle, on the outside of that donut is the ecological limit. So that is the point at which we are not overusing our environmental resources. And then the inside limit of the donut is the point at which we are not underserving society. So within that donut shape is the safe space where you're neither using too much stuff nor treating people horribly.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. Now, before we get into today's B Corp episode, I just want to say a big thank you to Adeline Sarkowska. I hope I pronounced that right, Adeline, who got in contact with us on LinkedIn and said, "Hi, Chloe, your podcast, E-commerce Master Plan, is a great resource for a new consultant like me. Would love to connect and follow your updates." So we love the fact that you are listening, Adelina. And I hope it's continuing to be a great resource for you and that your new consulting gig is going well too. So thank you so much for listening. If you would like a shout out like that, then why not put a review on one of the podcast platforms? We see all of those, or get in contact with us on LinkedIn. Okay, this episode is part of our B Corp month celebrations, where this year we're not entirely only interviewing people who are B Corps, although this one is a B Corp, but we are talking about different angles on sustainability in each episode. This time, we are talking to a B Corp B2B e-commerce business in the food sector. So quite niche, we're getting quite nichey. And rather than speak to one of the marketing team or the founder or something like that, we are talking to their sustainability manager. She has some serious sustainability credentials, having done many years working in sustainability at The Body Shop. And she's going to be talking us through what sustainability is for a business, for an e-commerce store, how you go about building sustainability into the business, and taking us through the process she's using in her new role at Vegetarian Express to assess where to make the most impact the most quickly. So if you've got Be More Sustainable, or make our sustainability activity more focused on your to-do list this year, this is the one for you. Make sure you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on my guest's top tips either and my own take on this episode. And now to introduce our special guest. Jane Firth is the Sustainability Manager at Vegetarian Express, a B Corp with a Shopify B2B e-commerce store selling the largest range of plant-based ingredients for food service in the UK. Trusted by thousands of chefs and caterers, they've been in business since 1987 and sell over 1,200 products. They now do £23 million in sales each year, of which £1.2 million is transactions via e-commerce and other online ordering platforms. Hello, Jane.
Hello, Chloe. It's lovely to talk to you today.
Very cool to have you here. The fact we get to explore what a sustainability manager at an e-commerce business does, and in the B2B space and in the food space, and you're a B Corp, kind of ticks an awful lot of boxes for me. But before we get into all of that, how did you end up in the world of retail and e-commerce?
By accident. This was never in plan, and I'm not sure I ever really had much of a plan. So I have a master's degree in chemistry from way back in the day and started out working for one quirky British business, which is Nick Wright's Waterproofing, in product development, you know, in a lab, what you expect when you've got a chemistry degree. And then worked there for a bit, decided to move on, went to The Body Shop, because I thought, well, big name, that'll be fun, do something interesting, and ended up working in their quality team. So that's what got me into retail in the first place. Worked in the quality team for a few years, moved sideways to regulatory, then moved sideways to sustainability. And that's where I really found my feet. And that's when I really realized what it is that I wanted to do and kind of who I was in work. And so I worked at The Body Shop for nearly 20 years. And then last year, I managed to get this really exciting role as a sustainability manager at Vegetarian Express. And I honestly have loved every minute of it. So that's been my first business to business business, as it were. But yeah, I've been working in retail for a long time of all sorts of, whether it's stores, e-commerce, at home, the whole shebang. And it's been global and now back to national scale again. So it's been an interesting journey so far.
And you're the first ever sustainability manager at Vegetarian Express. So what was it like going from a business where they'd had sustainability managers and sustainability team very embedded, very developed, very part of everything for a long time, to somewhere where you're kind of creating the role as you go? Is that as much fun as it sounds, or is it a nightmare?
No, honestly, it's been brilliant, because you come in to a business that has been full of people who actually care about this stuff in the first place, but they didn't know how to make it work and didn't know how to focus that desire, I suppose. And so you come in and you end up with people going, I'm so glad you're here, because now we've got a direction and we've got someone who knows what they're talking about, and we can actually move forward with things in a strategic way, rather than it being very sort of ad hoc, kind of, oh, this looks like a good idea, why not, sort of situation. So no, I've been welcomed with open arms, and it's been a delight. And I'm really enjoying being able to take all of that enthusiasm and turn it into a real plan that we can use going forward to make it even better.
I always find when taking on a new job, it's like, Chloe, you haven't had a new job in about 20 years. So let's just forget that. You don't do that, Chloe. Other people do this. But I imagine when you get into, you know, the senior roles where you're putting together plans and you're building those plans of attack, especially when you come in the first instance, you are trying to work out, should we be planning or should we be actioning a couple of things in the meantime? You know, have you been able to just go, we're purely planning for X months and then we're going to start executing, or are you mixing it up?
It's a little bit of each. I mean, as you mentioned at the beginning, we are a B Corp. So there's been a lot of work done to get that B Corp certification over the last few years. And that has been really useful for me, because it means there's an awful lot of documentation and information already available to be able to see what we are doing and what we're not doing, and what we're doing well and what we're not doing well, which then allows me to, if you like, pick the low-hanging fruit of stuff that's to say, right, what can we do now whilst we're in this big planning phase to know what we should be doing going forward? Because there's going to be some blatantly obvious stuff. You know, making sure we've got a really solid carbon footprint is like a really big one. And it's the kind of thing that we know we're going to need to do. It doesn't matter what comes out of a double materiality assessment or whatever, we know that's going to be near the top of things that just need to get done. So absolutely, we get started on those things that are obvious. And also, we have customers coming to us and saying, we need this, we need that, we need the other thing, because they've got their own ESG agenda, they've got their own requirements, they've got their own plans, and they need their suppliers, i.e. us, to, you know, fulfill those needs. And so we have to, you know, do what we can to try and fulfill that, because what the customer wants, the customer gets, really, when it comes to that kind of data, as long as we can feasibly do it.
It is that tricky thing when you're in the B2B space, is there's what you want to achieve and what you want to do, but there's also, when you're part of someone else's supply chain, especially with these sustainability pieces, as more and more legislation comes in, the only way that business can meet their requirements is by you giving them that information. So I guess for a business like Vegetarian Express, where you're already a B Corp and being about vegetarian food, I'm assuming you're pretty far down the line already, this is just kind of fuel to the fire of the things you want to do anyway, rather than being too much of a challenge.
Absolutely. And I think our entire sort of business proposition, being a predominantly plant-based, so predominantly vegan with some vegetarian ingredients, we are, as a general proposition, if the bigger our market share, the better for the world, because we are inherently more sustainable as a set of ingredients. So if you look at the carbon numbers behind beef, for example, it's huge. Same with lamb, it's huge. I mean, even chicken's quite high. And compare that to tofu or seitan or any of the other sort of big plant proteins. And it's just, it's a different league. So as soon as you're switching your menus from meat focused to primarily plant-based, or even just a flexitarian approach where you've got more options and really delicious options, then you're already bringing your carbon footprint down. So as a proposition, we're more interesting to businesses that are trying to lower their carbon footprints because they haven't got to do an enormous amount of work beyond switching out some plant proteins for some meat proteins in their meals. And because we provide them with recipes and how-tos on how to do that, it even saves them from having to work out what their menu should be, because we can provide so much information that they know what to order it, how to turn it into something delicious that someone's going to want to eat.
So this is a topic regular listeners will know I'm somewhat fascinated by, which is how we get consumers to change their buying habits, which obviously you're not dealing with the end consumer, but your customers are the restaurants, the caterers producing the food that the rest of us eat. And it sounds like they've got an appetite to change. So do you find as a business that part of your overall sustainability goals is to encourage your customers to make more switches to vegetarian and vegan and to help more businesses make that switch? So is kind of like helping the customer on the journey rather than just preaching to the converted, is that a big part of the plan?
Oh, that's the main part, really. We're not a causal business. We're not about trying to preach anybody to be vegan. What we're trying to achieve is making people's dietary choices wider. So we want people to understand how to eat well across a broader scope of ingredients, because you know there's nothing stopping you having a lovely beef lasagna. As long as you're kind of cutting down on the amount of meat that you're having, you're helping the environment in lots of different ways, not just carbon, but also land use and water use as well, and pollution too. So there's so many ways in which reducing your meat consumption is helpful, but you are not going to say, oh, no, you've got to be strictly vegan, you've got to be this, you've got to be that. You know, a lot of the ingredients that we sell, we don't know whether they're used in plant-based meals or in meat-based meals because they're spices or they're flour or they're this or, they're, you know, beans and pulses and what have you. They can be used in all sorts of things. What we want to be able to achieve, and I think what we are achieving through things like Seed Bank, which is the recipe portal, is to give people the opportunity to cook well with vegan and vegetarian ingredients. And then once you are providing a meal that's really tasty and really good, then people are more likely to choose it. I mean, most chefs are not actually taught how to cook vegan and vegetarian food at college. They're taught a meat as primary protein is the thing on plate. So as soon as you are telling them, oh, you need to increase your, you know, the amount of vegan stuff you got on your menu, they're like, I'm not entirely sure how to do that well. You know, they might work out how to cook something, but it's not necessarily going to be as good as it could be. So we've got that system in place, Seed Bank Recipes, which allows them to be able to go and find a recipe for any situation, whether it's a Lunar New Year or whether it's Christmas or whether it's a breakfast or a buffet or anything like that, to be able to go and say, right, what's good and how can I make it really good? And it's all there to provide them with that service, because they just don't know how to do it otherwise in a lot of cases. I mean, some do, obviously, but an awful lot of them don't. And part of the Seed Bank recipe portal is not just the what you need, it's the how you do it, it's the nutritional breakdown, and it's also the impact breakdown. So it'll tell you what your carbon saving is, what your land use saving is, and what your water use saving is compared to an equivalent meat-based meal.
Which, of course, is what your customer, the caterer, the restaurant, etc., are going to increasingly need to meet their requirements legally and everything else. As a sustainability manager, clearly you could be involved in any part of the business, and there are so many, or you're kind of involved in the whole business when it becomes a B Corp. And as we're talking about that, you know, content marketing comes under, could or arguably comes under your thing. So obviously you've got the B Corp numbers and the B Corp work that's been done to help you work out where to go with those projects. What else are you pulling into the mix to work out what the key projects you're going to work on? You know, you go, well, I could work on everything. I must be in every meeting, which is clearly A, going to drive everyone else insane, and B, going to take, you'll never get anything done. How are you working out where to focus?
Okay, so you're absolutely right when you say that sustainability is part of everything and everything is part of sustainability. Because essentially, sustainability is just a description of how you do business. It's how you do business in a way that is sustainable, both financially and in terms of the environment and society. So yeah, absolutely, you could be in everything, but you can't be in everything. So what I'm doing is I'm looking at three things at the moment. First is our B Corp assessment from the last time round to see what our gaps are. The second is very similar thing. We did an EcoVadis assessment recently, which is another sustainability measure. And we've got a gap analysis from that as well, which we're going to be doing. And the third thing is looking at a benchmark called Future Fit, which is based on donut economics. Now, both of those things are not necessarily the most well-known. Donut economics is a brilliant economic model, which looks at the safe space for humans to thrive in terms of environment and society. So it's give you a very brief description. If you imagine a drawing of a donut with a hole in the middle, and on the outside of that donut is the ecological limit. So that is the point at which we are not overusing our environmental resources. And then the inside limit of the donut is the point at which we are not underserving society. So within that donut shape is the safe space where you're neither using too much stuff nor treating people horribly. It's simple as that, really. And that is the fundamental economic model on which we want to base our go-to. That's kind of that's the North Star, if you like. That's where we want to end up eventually. But we're operating within the economic system we're currently operating in. It's incredibly difficult to get there. But the Future Fit Business Benchmark has some brilliant structures in there on how to measure where you are in relation to that, to donut economics. And provides you with a model on how to, it gives you literally a percentage number against each of 23 goals to be able to see where you are in relation to what good looks like. So that's like the third biggest bit of what I'm going to be measuring against. Take all of that information, chuck it into a double materiality assessment. So materiality assessment being what is material to your business, based on various different stakeholder groups, internal, external, customers, suppliers, community, staff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you measure the how important each thing is for each of those stakeholder groups. Now, a double materiality assessment doesn't just take into account how we impact on the world, but also how the world impacts on us and the risks, the opportunities, and the impacts all in relation to those things. So when you look at, for example, climate change, we have an impact on climate change because of the amount of carbon dioxide that we produce, etc. But we also are impacted by climate change. It is a business risk. It is a risk to our supply chains. Food, agriculture is affected by the weather, etc., etc. So it's that one topic has both an internal and an external perspective, and that's what the double materiality assessment does. So essentially, you list out all the things, you decide what's important, you literally put a score against it, you add it all up at the end of it, and then you've got a short list of stuff that's the most important. And that's your plan, is to say, right, those are the things that are important, that's what I'm going to tackle first. And then you hope that it's not going to cost too much.
So you've got the three kind of benchmarking tools, the B Corp, the EcoVadis, the Future Fit Business Benchmarks, which give you kind of the inputs to the model, I suppose. Then your model and your scoring is the double maturity assessment?
Materiality.
Materiality. I knew, yes. I'd written that down wrong. Can't read my own writing, everybody. Sorry. The double materiality assessment, which is where you take into account the stakeholders. So the visions, the values, the team, the suppliers, the customers, all those many, many stakeholders. Add up all the numbers and then you get what you've got to work on. And at that point you go, what can we find financially viable ways of doing these?
Exactly. So you're looking, when you're looking, because it's a double materiality assessment, and you're looking at it from an internal perspective and an external perspective, part of that scoring is how expensive is this going to be to do, but also how much of a risk is it financially if we don't do it?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be some things, like if we didn't do a supply chain risk assessment, for example, on some of our more high profile products, then we're potentially in a significant problem if that product and that supply chain is impacted by flooding or forest fires or whatever it ends up being because of climate change. So when you've done that risk assessment, you can understand what the impact is on your business in both directions, how much it's going to cost you and how much it's going to make for you, if you like, or how much it could impact your business. And not just in terms of trying to fix it, but in terms of what if you don't fix it, what's going to, you know, how much is it going to cost you then? Because with all of these things, generally speaking, if you are cutting your carbon, you're also cutting your costs because you're making more efficient energy choices, et cetera, et cetera. And it's kind of the same thing with an awful lot of sustainability stuff, is that you might not be noticing a cost change in the immediate instance, but you might be protecting yourself from a price increase. We might be protecting yourself from a failure of a supply chain later on, which would have been expensive. So you kind of got to look at money and not just a very, very short term, but also in a medium term and long term as well.
The process you've outlined kind of strikes me as, well, this is just like any other strategy we should be doing for the business. But in this instance, there's some really solid benchmarking tools we can use, which thus makes it actually arguably better than, you know, just a straightforward marketing strategy or any other strategy. The three you mentioned, B Corp, EcoVadis, FutureFit. Now, you're working at a lovely big company that's already done at least two of these, I think you said already. If you were going to pick, this cheeky question, if you were going to pick just one, is that feasible? Could you pick one?
Yeah, I think you could. I think you could, honestly. It depends whether you're looking internally or externally, right? If you were looking externally, it depends on your position in the supply chain as to which one you would choose. Because when you're talking direct to consumer, then B Corp has got a bigger name. If you're talking business to business, EcoVadis possibly has a bigger name, kind of. But when you're just talking in the world of sustainability and kind of looking at it from a very theoretical perspective, FutureFit Business Benchmark is more all-encompassing and is, for me anyway, and this isn't just my opinion, I think it's got incredibly strong groundwork underneath it, which is at the moment better than the other two. But that doesn't make the other two bad at all. They are still very, very good, because the FutureFit Business Benchmark is an internal tool. It's not a certification. It's free to use. You can literally go find it on the internet, and it's all of the information is free to anyone to use. So if you want to be able to prove your sustainability, you need to have those externally verified certificates, whether it's whether it's B Corp certification or whether it's EcoVadis assessment. Both of them provide that third party kind of, we're not marking our own homework situation. I mean, you can get that with FutureFit because there are auditors who can come in and check it, but it's not along the same kind of lines and of being known externally. So yeah, I've answered your question the same way a politician would, which is all of them, but for different reasons.
But that's exactly it, isn't it? It's kind of you decide which you're going to do, and if you've got to be certified, you know, you've got to have someone mark your homework to get B Corp or EcoVadis, and those are the ones that are going to get recognised by your customer base, depending on who they are. Then why would you go and get the FutureFit audited if you're doing that one, because that one has the biggest impact on the overall strategy of the business? So it makes a lot of sense. So you've taken us, Jane, through a really, really sensible and easy to understand way of building full sustainability into our whole business by going through that process, which I think even I could do in my little one person business. You know, it's doable. For anyone else who's listening going, right, 2025 is going to be the year we properly embrace sustainability in the business. Any other piece or last piece of advice for them on that?
I think if you're interested in sustainability in your business, don't just look at it as a bolt-on where you're just planting trees and doing a little bit of volunteering. Look at it as how sustainability can really be part of your overall business model, how your sustainability strategy and your business strategy can be one and the same thing, because it has to be one and the same thing. Realistically, you've got to have a business direction that serves sustainability, because if you decide, I want to be sustainable, but I am in fact, I don't know, drilling for oil, you just know. You know, you've got to align your purpose with your sustainability. So if you're in your business literally just to make money, don't worry about the sustainability stuff, because it's not worth it. You've got to be able to say, I care about the balance of my financial and my social and my environmental impact. You can't have just the singular one being your primary focus. It's got to be part of all of your decision making.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our business to the next level. Jane, are you ready for the top tips?
Let's go.
Okay, book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Oh, it's got to be Donut Economics by Kate Raworth. It is the fundamental underlining to what I think is the best sustainability structures out there. It's got the best science involved. It is the go-to. And it also explains why things like GDP, etc., and the current economic models of just growth for growth's sake just don't work. And that rather than just saying it out loud, it's explaining why. And I think that's really, really important. So if there was one book I would want anybody in business, politics, or anything to read, it would definitely be Donut Economics by Kate Raworth.
Great recommendation. And it would have been really weird if you hadn't have recommended Kate Raworth's book. Okay, the traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Given that this kind of stuff's not really my forte, I'm just going to have to go with have the right purpose, have the right why, know what you're doing and why you're doing it, and serve your customer accordingly. If you're doing the right thing, in terms of how it works for your purpose and you have a good product, people will find it.
So true. And it goes, everything goes back to that why, and you can do all the cleverest marketing in the world, but if it doesn't ring true, it just doesn't work. So I think that's a very valid answer. The tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Tool top tips. Now, this one I'm really interested in because it is a way of working. And I think it's really, really important. And it is something that I've noticed very fundamental to the way that things happen at Vegetarian Express, which is mutual trust, respect, and safety, and making sure everyone feels able to speak without judgment. People challenge kindly and fairly. There's no ego and there's no office politics. And that's a first for me. I think it's rather wonderful. And it's the culture in place where everybody wants everyone to succeed. And it really shows. So I think that's the most important thing, is to make sure that everybody feels mutually trusted, respected, and safe. And then you can fly.
It's almost the same as your answer to the traffic top tip, in terms of if you don't have that solid marketing culture, you know, going through your why and your purpose and all the rest of it, all that solid culture in the business, everything is harder and things just don't ring true. So I love that answer. The carbon top tip. What's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Well, in our case, the best way to reduce your carbon footprint is to have a proposition that fundamentally reduces carbon footprint of your customers. We are fundamentally reducing the carbon footprint of caterers by selling them ingredients that are significantly lower carbon than they used to. So looking at your proposition and seeing where you can provide that carbon cutting service to your customer is absolutely where you should start.
So true. Love that answer. Thank you. Jane, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media, please?
Yes, of course. So the website is vegetarianexpress.co.uk. On Instagram, it's vegetarian_express. On Facebook, it's vegetarianexpress LTD. And on LinkedIn, it's vegetarianexpress. And you can find me and under my name, Jane Firth, on LinkedIn.
Easy as that, everybody. Jane, thank you so much for coming on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. It's been fascinating learning from you, a real proper sustainability manager, how we go about doing these things. So thank you so much for sharing so much today. I've really appreciated it.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
So there you go. There's your recipe for bringing sustainability properly into your business. If you want to leverage proper sustainability, the way it impacts on every part of your business, from the product you make and the messages you have with your customer through to how you run your supply chain and everything else. And if you want to work out what to actually do next, which certainly one of my lessons of this year is, there's way too much Chloe needs to do. I need to be focused. And I've been using something very similar to what I think the double materiality assessment is, you know, scoring ideas and then working out where to focus. Then follow that process that Jane was talking us through. If you don't want to get certified B Corp, you can do the B Corp certification process for free on the B Corp site. EcoVadis, I'm not as familiar with, but that's another way of ranking yourself. Future Fit, obviously another way of ranking yourself completely free. Use any of those tools to go and work out, to analyze where you're at. Then use something like the double materiality assessment to work out what's important to you and your stakeholders. Match all that up together and it will spit out essentially where you should be focusing and where you should be working to give you that direction and that focus to work in the right areas. Really enjoyed chatting with Jane. It was really nice to talk about something a little bit different to normal. You can get your hands on the notes from this episode, including the top tips and the links to what we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/ the number of this episode into the URL bar and you'll be redirected straight to the right page of the website. And when you get there, why not put yourself on our email list so you don't miss out on any of the cool things we share to help you improve your business. If you liked this episode, then why not check out the rest of our B Corp episodes? You'll find them all at ecmp.info/B Corp, where we talk to lots of companies who are B Corps or occasionally on the journey to B Corp. There's advice on becoming B Corps on that page, and lots of B Corp brands talking about what they do. Sometimes very much about sustainability, like this episode has been, sometimes completely not about sustainability at all, but they happen to be a B Corp, so we've let them be on the page. And this episode is part of our celebration of B Corp month, which is March every year. But this time we're doing not only interviews with B Corps, we're also doing interviews with just generally sustainable people. So have a listen to the episodes around this one too. Thank you so much for tuning into this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to thrive and succeed with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.